Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, Texas, on Tuesday, August the 7th. And today we're going to touch base with our good friend Frank Burke, a businessman, author, and great friend of our show. We're going to take a look at, I like to call this a big picture look at what is happening in the country and in the state of our debate, the state of our culture, the way people talk to each other about politics, the way we disagree with each other about politics. When you see this young black woman, Candace, I can't think of her last name right now, she was having breakfast somewhere and she's literally approached and yelled at and called a bunch of names. What does that say about our culture? I mean, people cannot have breakfast without being interrupted. It's not like she was, having breakfast as part of her function. This is her private time. She was having breakfast. And then you see the New York Times hiring a young woman who has a history to say that she has controversial social media history would be an understatement. I mean, this young woman has been calling white men, including white police officers and everything else, names that she couldn't do of any other group in the United States. So it really, I mean, I'm sure other things that Frank will come up with, it just says to me something that we're at a, I hate to say dangerous time, but maybe a scary time with respect to the way we get along. Let me say hello to our friend Frank. How are you, Frank?
Well, thank you, Silvio, and yourself.
Pretty good. 100 degrees here, Frank. Give me a report from Wisconsin.
It is in the 70s here. Started out sunny and got cloudy, but thank heavens, in the 70s, supposed to be in the 80s the rest of the week. So we have had some very, very warm weather, not anything like what you've had. We've had a good amount of humidity, but fortunately, that seems to be easing up somewhat. So,
Frank, we're always 20 degrees apart. Now, in January, it's the other way, right?
It is. It certainly is. Gosh, we are freezing in January.
That's right. So in January, when we have 20, you have zero.
Right,
when we have 10,
right,
you've got minus 10. So
yes.
Now when you've got 70, we've got 90 or whatever. So we seem to be always 20 degrees apart. Maybe it has something to do with geography, you think?
I think it has, something to do with that and something to do with the jet stream and any number of other weather forces.
Yeah, whatever. Whatever,
but I don't
yeah.
think it. I don't think it has much to do with global warming. So,
no, in fact, speaking of global warming, there's a one of these days we'll talk about this because there's a great article. Drudge has this great article today about predictions that were made 30 years ago this week. I'm glad they turned out to be wrong because 30 years ago this week, they were predicting that you and I would be roasted and the temperatures would be so high and so warm that we looked like Mars or something, the surface of the Earth. So they turned out to be wrong.
Wasn't New York supposed to be underwater a couple of years ago, according to Al Gore?
Yeah, he did make that prediction, but I think the only person underwater these days is him.
I'd give him Barack Obama, too. He was also talking a big line about if he was nominated, he was going to make the oceans go down,
right?
Some such as that. So,
yeah, no, these people think very highly of themselves. I'll tell you that right now. I'm sure Mother Nature gets back at them by basically turning all their predictions wrong,
yes.
To say, oh, you think you're that smart, Al? Let me show you who's really smart here. But anyway. Frank, I want to talk today about what I kind of call the state of our culture, maybe the state of our political rhetoric. We're at a time when really very few people are talking to each other. We're screaming at each other. You have this young woman, Candace. I mentioned her before. I can't think of her last name right now, but this is a young black woman who has been very critical of the of the politics of the Democrat Party and African Americans, and she's obviously become very unpopular with some of the left-wing groups. And a couple of days ago, she was having breakfast in Philadelphia, and a bunch of people show up at the restaurant and so on. And then other situations like this happening in the country. The New York Times hiring this young woman to work on the editorial page. I can't wait to see her editorials, Frank. love to see those. But let's talk about this, not necessarily the incident of this young woman, but what it says to you when people rush to a restaurant and they start attacking a person in that restaurant. What does that say to you, Frank?
Well, I think it's a wonderful segue from your first comments on global warming. And that's the fact that what we're dealing with in so many of these cases, I think, when a large part of the population moved away from a belief in God, as you and I know God in conventional religion, they went ahead, people need faith. They need to have some kind of belief system. So they adopted this leftist kind of paganism as a religion. And it makes them feel, totally self-righteous. And that goes for global warming. It goes for all these other beliefs that they purport to have. And it gives them license to commit these things that are criminal, and that, a few years ago to them would have been criminal. But now they are so fanatical in their beliefs and so self-righteous that they think it's fine. They think, well, if this is what you have to do, this is what you have to do.
Right, and you're right. They see us as the enemy, I guess, and we're a threat to them or a threat to mankind. But this young woman, particularly Candace, I can't think of her last name, Frank. This young woman, Candace, came out. She's been in the news here lately because she came out and basically challenged. She didn't insult anybody. She just came out and said, what we're doing is not working. Can we maybe think of doing something differently? And she's my goodness, it's like a rebellion against this young woman from the left. She can't. Can I go to a college to speak? There was recently a situation like that, too, with another young conservative whose name I cannot recall. I can't think of his name either. But anyway, it's not that important what their names are. It's important that they're being targeted like this. I cannot remember a time when young conservative students at a college prevented a liberal from speaking. And if they did, I would have been the first to say, no, don't do that. So I'm concerned about what it means about the country and what it means about where we're going, Frank, as a people. This is not a good place. I mean, where we're going is not a good place. I'll put it that way, Frank.
No, it isn't. No, it absolutely isn't. We're seeing a wholesale acceptance of violence as a means of getting whatever it is that you want. And a lot of it comes, I think, from immaturity. It's like a child having a tantrum and saying, I want that, I want that. And whatever it takes to get that, I will do. If I have to hold my breath and turn blue or whatever. And that's basically, you're seeing the adult equivalent of that. But what makes it so dangerous is the fact that when you have that mentality, you are able to justify anything. And you hear these people calling for assassinations, calling for, this Maxine Waters, who's a not very bright, mad woman anyway, calling for getting in the face of people. And you have commands from their leadership. There are people to whom Maxine Waters makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
And when she says something like that, they think, well, Maxine said it. She's in the Congress. It must be okay.
Mm-hmm.
And by the same token, okay, and this is what's especially dangerous, you have the law enforcement people standing down in these violent demonstrations, so that there's no penalty for this. You want to get together with a mob and set fire to police cars, break up buildings, beat up a few people, you're not going to go to jail. It's not going to happen. They're going to stand by for the most part and watch you do whatever you want to do.
Well, and that's exactly right. And now in this particular incident with, again, the young woman, Candace, people were actually throwing things at the restaurant window, people from the outside. They were actually throwing things at the restaurant window. So, I mean, every one of those people out there should be arrested for their behavior, in my opinion. You know,
of course they should.
There's no excuse for that. But what if they had thrown something that had cracked the window, and let's say somebody gets hurt, maybe somebody gets killed? I mean, a flying piece of glass is about as deadly as a bullet. I mean, when is this, you know, this is what I'm afraid of, that at some point some person, well, we already saw what happened to the congressman who was playing baseball. Something's going to happen here that is very bad, and I'm still waiting for President Obama. And maybe I may get old waiting for him, but I'm waiting for President Obama to come out and say, folks, if you're going to do that, you're not on our side, because we don't believe in that. And I love to see President Obama. I love to see other leaders of the Democrat Party do that. But I haven't heard it, Frank. Maybe you have, but I haven't.
I think you're going to wait a long time. I don't think it's going to happen. I really don't, because they haven't done it. And they will not. I don't think they will do it. You're looking at what's happening in that party is that the people who are, you know, it's not the party you and I knew. A lot of the younger people are taking it into such a far left direction that you wouldn't recognize it from what it used to be. And it's a dangerous far left direction, because, again, these are people who believe that they're entitled to use force if that, you know, the end justifies the means.
Well, they certainly did in this case. Now, speaking of what is happening on the other side, and by the way, I don't support anybody who agrees politically with you and me to engage in this kind of behavior. Any conservative out there interrupting the breakfast of a public figure, my opinion, should be arrested. And if you're throwing things at the window, you should be arrested. No excuses from me on that, Frank. But
right.
I have to tell you that I follow the news quite a bit. You and I are people who follow the news. We read a lot of what's going on. And I can't think of the last time this happened in the other direction, meaning that I can't think of the last time that somebody from CNN or even that fellow from CNN, Jim Acosta, I mean, come on. They were stupid what they did to him, yelling at him and all that, giving him the finger. But his life was never threatened. They weren't going to touch him. They were just screaming at him. But again, I didn't support that either, because I think it's stupid to do that in public. I mean, there are ways of disagreeing. Giving people a finger is not one of them. But I kind of a segue here to the New York Times, because they've just hired a young woman, Frank, who has a social media resume, if I could put it that way. That is, it's if she had spoken that way about any group in the United States, she would have never gotten that job. She would have been demonized by the New York Times itself. But because her target was white men, she has a job at the New York Times, and you've got people defending this woman, Frank.
Yes, you do. And you know, there's a great danger here. And the danger, as I see it, is this. If you go back to Germany in the 1930s, you had a very high population of Jewish people who were very loyal Germans, and they were very proud of that culture, to the extent that they could not accept, many of them could not accept the fact that the madness that you heard from the Hitler types was ever going to bear fruit. And so they waited, and they did not rise up. And you saw what happened. And I'm seeing a rather analogous situation here with white males and with conservatives. We're sitting here, we're being abused. They're talking all kinds of ridiculous nonsense about how bad we are and we're privileged and all of this stuff, which, you know, you can say, okay, when they were shouting, well, the Jews have all the money, the Jews have all the money. Well, the whites have all the privilege, the males have all the privilege. How far, you know, is it coming close to that? Is it coming close to the point where the institutions that we depend on are being taken over by people who are off the rails? And I don't
Well, I hope not either. I mean, I agree with you. I hope that it doesn't happen, and I'm optimistic. But, you know, we're dangerously close to it. But look at the situation in Austin, Texas, where somebody decided that they wanted to change the name of the city, Austin, Texas, because apparently back in the 1830s, the city's named after Stephen Austin. I think you probably know that. And apparently Stephen Austin, back in 1835, made a remark about slavery that obviously doesn't sound very good today. But now they want to change the name of the city because of that. And I'm sitting there saying, okay, so what's next? So, yeah. I mean, you got a situation in Hollywood where they're removing I guess they want to remove the star of Donald Trump or whatever it is on that avenue of stars or whatever. I guess this is from
It's been vandalized.
Yeah, it's been vandalized. And I'm sitting there saying, okay, well, where do we stop? Are we going to do now the other people who have been accused of sexual harassment? I mean, where does this stop? I mean, at what point? And I think this is the danger. And this is where, unless it comes from inside the Democrat Party, Frank, it may not come at all. Because if it comes from our side, then they say, well, that's just a bunch of Republicans giving us the same stuff. There has to be a Joe Lieberman in that party, just like Joe Lieberman stood up to Bill Clinton in 98. There has to be somebody in that party that says, folks, if this is, you know, what you want to do, I'm not one of you. Don't come to me for support if that's what you want to do. I don't know. Maybe I'm optimistic or naive, but it's got to come from somebody on their side, Frank.
Well, you know, I think that the problem is, and this is why I don't think that can happen, Sylvia, the fact is that that party has ruptured. When you talked about, you go back to Joe Lieberman, that was at a time when there was a single cohesive Democrat Party. You may have had some disagreements among people here and there, but you did not have the complete break that you have now. And the reason for that largely is the followers of Bernie Sanders.
Mm-hmm.
You heard the woman in New York, Cynthia Nixon, who's running for governor. She's not going to make it. But you heard her say, I am a Democrat socialist. The Cortez woman who was elected in New York, in Queens, on a socialist platform. She does not understand what she's saying. She does not know what she's saying, and it's very obvious. But she's getting tremendous press because there are a hell of a lot of people around who don't know, especially young people, who don't know what socialism is. They don't know what that means. They haven't studied it. And so you have the split in the party that I don't think if one person from the moderate side stood up and said, look, this, and I don't know who it would be, but if someone, Joe Manchin maybe, stood up and said, hey, this is wrong,
right,
they'd shout him down.
Right. Joe Manchin would certainly be the obvious one, or some of the other red state Democrats, but I think you're right. I think they would be shouted down. Frank, let me take a quick break, and then when we come back, we'll continue our conversation about the state of our culture.
Happy.
So do I. We'll be right back. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, Texas. We're chatting with our friend Frank Burke. Frank is an author, a businessman, contributor to The American Thinker. We have a link to his book on the show information, a very fascinating book that I read a couple of years ago. It came out in 2015, Frank, if I recall.
It did. It did, Silvio. And
yeah.
You also are the author of a fascinating book that I've enjoyed.
Yes, yes, my little book about Cubanos, right?
Right, exactly.
And, yeah. So thank you so much. One of these days we'll share the books on the air. You know, you can read
right,
mine,
exactly.
I'll read yours. We'll put everybody to sleep reading the book, you know?
Exactly.
Yeah, we'll call it the Book of the Week Club or something. And yeah, that would be fun. But kind of, you know, as a last thought here, Frank, looking at this going forward, you wanted to mention something else, and did I overlook your point? I know you had another point that you wanted to bring up, and I didn't want to pass that up. Go ahead.
Well, the point I wanted to bring up, and it dovetails with this, and it goes to a large cause, and that's Chicago and Baltimore and all of our other cities, with Philadelphia, where there is a tremendous amount of gun violence and violence, period. People killing people, mostly African Americans, killing other African Americans. But you see what's happening here, and that's the fact that the police have been so beaten down, where they have shot, and now nobody wants an unjustified shooting. But where somebody has been shot, a black person, by either a black or white officer, and everybody comes down on the police, and you hear all this rhetoric. Look, you mentioned Barack Obama before. Look at Barack Obama. He was the leader of the band in that case. And he encouraged a disrespect for the law, which led to people following in those footsteps, and led to a situation where people are afraid to enforce the law. They would rather stand back and watch lawlessness take place. Look at the movement in the Democrat Party to abolish ICE.
Amazing.
The sanctuary cities, the idea that no, you're not going to come in here and get our criminals. We love our criminals, you know. That's basically what they're saying.
Well, I'm sorry, go ahead and finish, because I wanted to... But they're really doing, I mean, in the case of sanctuary cities, I mean, we went through that here in Texas. Now, in Texas, we have something called SB4 that was passed by the legislature and signed by the governor. They immediately found a judge to, you know, to attack it, but eventually it went to an appeals court. 3-0, Frank, Texas won. 3-0. Normally, these decisions are 2-1. Because there's always, you know, some one judge who decides. In this case, it was 3-0 in favor of what we call SB4, which is our anti-sanctuary. But I think that a lot of the Democrats, I think, are just pandering to the Hispanic vote. They're confused in the sense they think that most Hispanics support illegal immigration, which they don't. Most Hispanics are actually legally in the country, and they're just as interested in you know, clean streets and safe streets as anybody else. But I think that they're really pandering. And one of the reasons, Frank, that I want the Democrats to really lose in November, one of the reasons that I want them to lose in November is because I think that that will bring about the civil war within the Democratic Party that will blow up the party. It'll cost them 2020, but it will also mean the split of people like Bernie Sanders and this young woman in the Bronx. And then I think a more moderate Democratic Party will emerge. And eventually that party will compete and win elections. But it'll be a Democrat Party that makes a heck of a lot more sense to centrist voters. It's not going to be this crazy Democratic Party that wants to abolish ICE, Frank.
Well, you know, I have to say, Silvio, I think you're being optimistic, to be honest.
Oh, wow.
With you. And the reason I say that is this. What the Democrats on the far left are counting on is the fact that the lack of real education that's been a problem that we've all seen in this country for the last 20 years is now coming home to roost. And if you have a lot of people, younger people especially, who think that it's cool to be socialist, it's cool to mouth all these phrases, whether or not you know what they are or what they're about, you could very well end up with a highly radicalized Democratic Party. Or I could see it splitting from the Democrats and creating a large socialist party. But, you know, this is typically the methodology that's found in these countries where you've had all kinds of takeovers by radicals. It's what happened in Germany. The NSDAP, the National Socialist German Workers' Party, was the Nazi party. And they pulled people out of other parties, and they made a big case about how they were saving the country and all the people who had been mistreated, and they got a lot of people in there who didn't do a lot of thinking.
That's right, and of course, one of the things that we briefly wanted to mention was a recent survey that came out, the incredible ignorance of the people who took the question, at least, the people who were polled, the incredible ignorance that they had, let's say, about the First Amendment. Something like 40% couldn't tell you any of the freedoms protected by the First Amendment, which is mind-boggling. But that's that. I think to some extent that's what some education – maybe we need to go to homeschooling. I have a feeling they'll get better educations in homeschooling.
I think one of the – well, it's true, but it affects everything. And, you know, I think one of the things they've discovered is that if you disseminate enough misinformation, it will become – it's the old – the big lie thing. People will believe it. For instance, there are people – most people, I would say, most people on the left – would believe that if you were talking about a semi-automatic weapon, you were talking about a machine gun. They do not understand the difference between a semi-automatic and a full automatic weapon because they've been too lazy and they've been told otherwise. We've got to get rid of these semi-automatic weapons. We've got to get rid of these assault rifles. There's no such thing as an assault rifle. There's no such thing as a class of rifle called an assault rifle. There are rifles that are used in the military that have certain characteristics, but those are the same characteristics that are used by sportsmen. So, you know, you muddy the water enough, and you get people emotional about something, and you've got a problem.
Well, and look at Chicago. You mentioned Chicago. There's a perfect example of a city that has perhaps the strictest gun control laws in the country, to the point that there are several lawsuits in the works of citizens complaining that their Second Right Amendment was being denied because of these rules. And yet, in the city with the strictest gun control, the biggest Democrat machine in the country, this last weekend, it was awful. I think 50 people were shot. I believe a dozen were killed, maybe less, whatever. But and so, I mean, it's not working in Chicago. You know, the gun control is not working in Chicago. Now, I understand that a lot of this is gang-related violence. But the only people who are getting screwed in Chicago are the good citizens who cannot defend themselves, Frank.
Oh, there are. And you have to realize one thing, that every gun law is based on the same erroneous premise. And that premise is that criminals obey the law.
Right,
and they
exactly.
don't. That's why they're criminals.
Exactly.
So that's the point. And you look at that situation in Chicago, I don't know how you fix it. The idea that you hear the old thing, well, we need jobs. These people don't want to go to work, a lot of them.
Right. They're doing great in the drug business. Well, I mean, there's no job that would pay what they're doing in the drug business. I mean, if you gave these guys a job, you know, selling selling cars or selling something else, they couldn't make the kind of living they're making now. A lot of it, of course, is drug related, which is another problem altogether. But I just think that, you know, that the violence now, how do you stop the violence in Chicago? I don't have an easy answer either, Frank. But I would start with one thing. I think the governor should put the National Guard. I mean, the violence is happening in a relatively small area. It's not the whole city.
Right.
So I would put the National Guard in a 5 or 6 street block, almost like in a military situation where they check every car, they check every person, and then at least people have the freedom of coming out on Saturday night and listening to the Cubs or the White Sox without getting killed, Frank.
Well, that's true. But the other thing too, Silvio, and I heard it in an interview for the guy, one of the men who's running for mayor. He said, what good is even having the guard or the police, because the judges let these people out? They can't get them taken off the streets. They go in on some charge,
right.
They pay the bail, they go back in, they have another excuse to get out.
Well, and I think that to complicate things even more, you have a mayor, Emmanuel, who is frankly failing in every respect. You seem to have a governor there. He's a Republican governor, but he's been a total disappointment, frankly, to anybody who voted for him. He's not going to be reelected in November. I think this gentleman who said that about the guard is probably correct.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you can't do anything about the guard if you arrest somebody and turn him over to a judge, and the judge says, well, we're going to put you back in the streets. Well, then, you know, we're right back where we started from. So it's a very complicated problem. I'm not saying that I have an easy answer for it. But if it was my neighborhood, I'll just put it to you this way. If it was my neighborhood and this was happening every Saturday night in my neighborhood and you had gangs coming in every Saturday night shooting people and shooting each other, I would feel a lot safer at least with the National Guard in my neighborhood. It may not be the perfect solution, but at least I think some of the shooting would stop, Frank, because I don't think the gangs are going to challenge the National Guard. I don't think they're that stupid.
No, I think you need something. You need a force, and
right.
You need a force that's commanded from outside. You need someone with whom there is no arguing.
Right.
That's the reality. It has to be taken out of the city's hands. The city
right.
has failed.
It becomes
a national emergency.
Exactly. I mean, if this is not a national emergency, I don't know what is, Frank.
You've
got 60 people shot in a weekend, 15 killed, I think, 10, 12 killed, it doesn't matter, all the people who are injured. If that's not a national emergency, my goodness, if we had losses like that in Iraq one weekend, they would have shut down the news media. They would have been talking about all the dead people in Iraq. Well, what about the dead people in Chicago? I feel terrible
right.
for those people. Most of them are stuck in horrible neighborhoods and horrible schools, and now they've got this on top of it, Frank. It's just absolutely, absolutely horrible. Well, Frank, I guess it just means we have another show to do soon so we can continue talking about all of this. They're all very complicated, but they're all very frustrating problems. And I want to thank you, as always, for your time, and it's always
a lot of fun
to chat with you.
Well, God bless, Silvio, and I thank you, because I really believe that unless people start talking about these things and thinking about them and stop letting them just go past and say, oh, it won't happen here, then unless people stop that, it's going to happen.
Well, I'll give you an example. You mentioned my book, and I just wanted to give an example, a story that I have in my book. In the 1950s, some refugees from Hungary moved to Cuba after the 56, when they had the uprising that the Soviet Union put down. Savage, the Soviet Union, they killed people. And some of these refugees moved to Cuba. And one of them went to open an account at my dad's bank. And all these Cuban at the office were sitting there listening to the story, you know, of communism and all of that, right? And I remember, you know, my dad later on saying, who knew that we'd be in this exact same situation a few years later? So you're right. People have to stand up and not let these things happen, Frank.
Yeah, you know, it's I don't know if you've ever had a situation. I had it, and I'll have to be honest with you, when I went through a divorce, okay? And just about all of my friends, if we had a talk about it, and I don't mean getting into the real nitty-gritty, but just saying, look, this is what happened, I'm sorry it happened, whatever, I got the same story. Oh, it can't be that bad. It couldn't have been that bad. And it was that bad. And mm-hmm. You couldn't get anybody to really, nobody wanted to hear the really bad news. And that's human nature. None of us like to deal with that. None of us want to believe it. But it's there. It's
right
there.
And then when it happens, you remember all those conversations you had when you said, it's not that bad.
Right. Exactly. Exactly.
All right, Frank, have a great weekend. And we're going to get together soon. We're going to do a show coming up in the next couple of weeks about fatherhood, and I think you're going to enjoy it a great deal. So thank you, Frank. Thank you so much for your time.
Oh, not at all. Thank you, Silvio. Take care.
All right. Frank Burke, our good friend up in Wisconsin, talking about the state of the country. Things are a little crazy in the country right now when people cannot have breakfast without being interrupted, when the New York Times hires a young woman with this kind of a social media background. Things are not, they don't make a lot of sense. And I think that we as a country, I hate to say take the country back, but in some ways we need to stop this nonsense, because if people cannot talk to each other, if people cannot disagree about something, then I think we've lost the most important part of being an American, which is being able to disagree. I mean, look, I disagree with lots of people. I have different opinions with people, but I respect them. I don't interrupt them when they're having breakfast because they disagree with me. We all kind of need to get along a little bit better in this country. There's a lot of good in the country, but we just seem to be promoting all the wrong elements these days. Have a wonderful day, everybody. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas.